Psalm 92, verse 12 to 13 says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God." In the NIV version, it says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" And so the cedars of Lebanon are, it's a tree, it's a cedar tree. If you want the, I think it's a Latin name, Cedrus Liberni, that's the name, is the national emblem of Lebanon. It is a symbol of resilience, strength, and eternal life. And so historically, these cedar trees covered the mountains of Lebanon. And in the scriptures, I think it's, there are 72 references to the cedars of Lebanon. And so the Bible describes the cedar tree as being strong and durable, graceful and beautiful, high and tall, fragrant, because the wood, they'll get oils from the wood, and that will be used for perfume. And so now the oil that they have, if there's a lot of, you know, very nice colognes, perfumes out there, the ones that are oil-based, they tend to last longer. And so this tree was obviously fragrant, the wood from it. And they would obviously spread their branches out wide. And there is something about being planted in the house of God. For you as an individual, number one, for your children, and obviously, I guess it's for your family. There is something that is resilient, that is strong, that is graceful and beautiful. This is not to say that Christian people, it's all kumbaya and you don't have the issues of life. We are all affected, whether you're for the Lord or not, everybody has to deal with issues. If you've got kids, you got to deal with them as well. If you've got a spouse, you got to deal with them as well. You know, very unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. Eh? Everybody has got to deal with the issues of life. There'll be times where you will not have a lot, and there'll be times where you'll have plenty. So it goes up and down for all of us. But there is just something about when you make a decision to say, you know what, this is the year that I'm going to make a conscious decision to be planted in the house of God. Now, you got to realize that if something is planted in the ground, it doesn't move around too much. It stays standing. If you're a pot planted, it means you can go wherever you please, because it'll just pick up the pot plant and move you wherever it is that you want to go. The problem with being pot planted is that your roots do not grow down deep. Because when you lift, when you obviously take a tree or a plant out of the pot, what happens to the roots? They're all gnarly and they're all just sort of like, you know, coming together, and they're not going down deep. They cannot search for nutrients down in the ground. This is why when you come into the house of the Lord, here you meet people, you make connections. Most importantly, you hear the word of the God, you come and you worship, and then you hear the word of God, and your roots begin to grow down deep. And so now, not to say that you're not going to have issues of life, but guess what? You've got a support network, your roots are going down deep into the word of God, and so when the day of trouble comes, you remain sturdy. That doesn't mean you're not going to have issues, but you're not tossed around to and fro. And I know that an encounter with Jesus will cause you to serve him, or will cause you to want to serve him. If you look at, there's a time the Lord went to the Gadarenes. It says the man of the Gadarenes, a guy used to be in the cemetery. And he was going crazy and, you know, all that. And when people would tie him up with chains, he would break them off. He had such strength. He was possessed by many demons. And so when the Lord arrived, he chucked the demons into the pigs. Boom. And the pigs went overboard, sadly, you know, for that town. There'd be no pork. No pork for them, you know. I love pork. Pork is very good. Yes. But this is what the guy, it says, and remember, this is a guy today, he's all crazy and making weird stuff and, you know, just doing crazy stuff. Then when he's healed by the Lord, it says the same guy who was all weird was in his right mind. He had it all together. And this guy was following Jesus all the time. And then now he wanted to go with Jesus wherever he went. And the Lord said to him, go and tell your family what the Lord has done for you. So when you encounter the Lord, when you have been really forgiven, when you've been forgiven, when you encounter him, there is something, there is a joy that wells up on the inside of you that says, you know what, this man has done some crazy things for me. I don't want to tell everybody all the weird stuff I used to do, but guess what? I just want to serve him. And that's what an encounter with the Lord is like. And so my journey, and I'll just explain my serving journey, my journey of service. I started attending church when I used to attend church when I was back in Zimbabwe. And then I was just a bit iffy about it all. And then I came to Australia and I attended church because somebody invited me. I just come to church and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll come. And so I went to church and had an encounter with the Lord. I remember there's a guy who was singing and he sang this song somehow. And it was all about running, like we were singing today. It wasn't that particular song. It was all about running. He sang it so well. Man, there was just an anointing on that song. And I'm like, oh, man. All right, I'm going to go to the Lord. And it's interesting that there's another time when they sang the same song. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that song is so average. But you see, when God has his finger on something for you, something just magical happens. So initially, when I made that decision to say, look, I'm going to stop my backsliding and I'm just going to be a bit more serious with the Lord, it felt awkward. I don't want to say that I was one of those people that came running down the aisle and just was so glad and crying and carrying on. No, I'll be lying. I wasn't. I was just like, oh, goodness. You know, because I thought that I'm going to give up a whole lot of things. And for me, it was giving up rap music. And my favorite rap artist of all time, still to this day, is Tupac. Tupac was just, yeah, I can talk about Tupac, but I felt like he was speaking to me each time that you listen to his songs. It's like, yes, it's speaking to my situation. I guess I was young, and so that's why Tupac was the guy for me. Of course, the kids nowadays have got other artists that they look to, Drake and all of that. And so I continued to attend church, and I would just sit in the aisle. But eventually, people started to say, you know, they saw some gifts in me that I probably never saw in myself. And they said, oh, look, you're gifted in this. And they were encouraging me to serve. And I recall we used to have people come and pray, and then they would say, we believe that God is, you know, is going to be calling you to sort of like speak to people, and all of that. And so what happened is that I started just serving in the different areas, you know, and at times I became a youth leader at that church, Clear Vision was called, with Pastor Ray Ledger, and he taught me a whole lot of stuff. And then from there, serving in the youth, I would get an opportunity to give small talks, maybe 5 or so minutes, which was very encouraging. But what happened, you see, is that because all these people would say, you know, people come and they pray for you and they say, you're going to be used by the Lord, you know, God is going to use you, God has got plans for your life. You're going to be somebody who's speaking. All of a sudden, that's what I began to chase. That I'm going to be a speaker and I don't want to do anything else, but became a speaker. And so I felt entitled by what they said to me. So moving from Adelaide, I moved to Wollongong. And of course, again, I had this thing that the Lord has put something on my heart. I need to speak to young people. And so, of course, I joined the youth team in Wollongong, led by our youth pastor then, Fernando Aguilera. And I didn't get to speak to the youth. The whole 18 months I was in that team, I think I only spoke once. And that annoyed me to no end. It annoyed me to no end because the Lord has said, I'm going to be a speaker. So I need to do what? I need to speak. But I used to drive the bus, used to pick up the kids to youth, and then drop them off. Because they used to say, you know, Wollongong is very sparse. The suburbs are far from each other, so you'd have to pick the kids up. And then at the end of youth, you'd go drop them. And then I'll probably arrive at home 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. But it annoyed me because I had something to say. The Lord said, I'm going to do this, and that's what I wanted to do. But then, of course, I also then began driving the church bus on a Sunday, picking people up, dropping them at home afterwards. And what I found in that time was that, you know, where you sometimes make it all about yourself, as you start to serve, it's no longer about you, but it's about other people. Because we had some, we had young people I would pick up, they were elderly people. And so guess what? You'd have to help them onto the bus, and then you'd have to help them off the bus. So which means there isn't, my natural bent would have been just to park the bus next and say, jump in, but hurry up and jump in. But you can't do that. So you have to actually, you know, get out the bus and get them in there, in their seat, make sure their belts are on. And so that happened for a very long time when I was in Wollongong. Then we moved to Alice Springs. You would think by now I would have learned my lessons, that it's about serving other people. But no, it was all about me. I wanted to be a youth leader. God had something he wanted me to say to all the young kids. Eventually, and I used to be a crazy youth leader, I tell you. The first time when I, the first day that I got the the reins, excuse me, when I got the reins of being the youth leader, I said, all right, after church, we're going for a trip. And I took everybody to the cemetery. And I said, look, and I said, you see this? So we went to Memorial Park in Adelaide. As you know, Memorial Park is very nice. There's those very nice tombstones. And so I looked around, and I saw one that looked, you know, really nice, very nice tomb headstone. And I said, you see, there's a start date to your life and an end date. The issue is, what are you going to do in the middle between those start birth date and death date? You are the one that can determine the impact of your life. So I used to do crazy things. Move to Wollongong. To Alice Springs, I was the youth again, youth leader. I took a knife to the leaders of the youth group, all of the leaders. I took a knife, and I said, this knife here, this is what can happen. I must have taken a serrated bread knife and a pointy knife, you know, the sharp ones. And I was just, these are the kind of weird things I used to do to try and get my point across. That do you want to be one that, you know, with a knife, how you use your mouth is really going to determine whether you benefit somebody or whether you injure them. And I said, if you were going to be a knife, I would rather you be a pointy knife, not a serrated knife. Because you know with the serrated ones, when they go in and you pull it back, it does more damage than a pointy one that will just go in. So I used to do all those kind of weird things. So I think that it was, eventually, we left there and moved to Port Hedland. But this time, I did not want anything to do with leadership. I'm going to get to Hedland, and I'm focusing on my career. Don't want any, I'll attend church, and I'm just going to be somebody who attends church. But what happened during this time is that I said, I am committed to supporting Pastor David in any way that I can. My goal was to make this man successful. You know, we all saw Pastor David in December. I said, my goal is to make this man successful. Now, we're not talking here that I was worshiping Pastor David. Of course not. But I said, this is my aim. I am going to, whatever it means for this guy, whatever he needs, I'm going to do. So on a Sunday, I was ready. The waters, I introduced that in Port Hedland. You know, bringing waters for the pastors. That was a Steve McGuinsey thing. Not a big deal, but guess what? It was an innovation for that church, because I wanted to bring honoring. I was honoring this guy, and so it made his life a bit easier. At least we'd have some water on a Sunday. But then I also said, I also want to be the CEO, not of the church, but I want to be the chief encouragement officer to everybody within the church. So now my tech changed from it's all about me to say, I am going to encourage everybody. And I took that same attitude to work. That, you know what, my boss, my mission is to make this person successful. Of course, I'll do my job, but my drive was to make my boss successful. And I recall having a conversation with Pastor David where he would ask me about, oh, you know, are you thinking of becoming a pastor? And I'm like, no, thank you. But I said, you know, I don't think I'm the man. I don't think I can be the man at the helm, but I can support the person that is at the helm. And I don't know why, but that's how I felt, that I really don't want that kind of responsibility. I'll just be able to support the person that is sitting at the top seat. I took that into all my relationships, that attitude, where now when I interact with people, I'll send them a message, thank you very much, it was great coming to your house, it was great meeting with you. And I stopped giving general feedback, oh, lovely. You know, I would give specific feedback because I wanted to encourage people for them to be their best. So some of the lessons through my journey are as follows. That serving is part of our discipleship. You fulfill Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations by consistently showing up and helping people on their discipleship journey. So as you come through, you know, you walk with people through the good times and the bad times, you encourage them through interaction. And I recall, you know, when I was back in Wollongong, whether the Lord told this man about, don't give this guy any speaking opportunity, but 2020, when we were ordained in Kwinana by Pastor Nigel and Greg and all and the others, they flew over, Pastor Rebecca and Fernando, they flew over, and he said to me, this is in 2020, he said to me that there used to be one of the kids that used to be part of the youth group, and he says, oh, I was talking to this now man, he used to be a young guy who's now a man, and he was saying something about that I said to him during one of our interactions. And so when we say that serving is part of discipleship, you never know the value of the word of encouragement that you bring to somebody else. You never know that as you're standing at the back and welcoming people, and to be quite honest, it does seem like the wackest job, standing at the door, welcome, but you do it with a smile, but you never know the value of the word, the value of that interaction. And I tell you, we will never really get to know the impact of the things that we do up until we get to heaven. Then we're going to have people run to us and say, oh, remember me? No, I got no idea. Because you said this and this to me. This is so you never should underestimate the value of the words of encouragement that you speak to other people. So serving is part of our discipleship. But serving is also part of our identity as Christ followers. We know that, like I always said since last year, that we are in church. Last year, we were in church 204 hours, 52 times 2 hours. No, 104 hours. 104 hours. This year, I'm glad to tell you, we'll be in church 106 hours. Because there's 53 Sundays this calendar year. So 2 more hours. My point is this, that we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. But at the same time, just as Jesus did that, he served other people, he also served the community of believers. And this is what happens when you come into the church. It's part of our identity because Jesus also served those that were closest to him. Romans 15 verse 1 says, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. So strength that we have is for service and not status. So if I'm always spending time with the Lord and reading the Bible every day and I'm all faith, it's not so that I look good. It is for service, so I can serve other people. Everybody, all of us in this church, and this is one thing that we strongly believe, is that all of us are supposed to do something. Not nothing. We're supposed to do something. We would be more effective as the body of Christ and as a church community when we each use our gifts to serve faithfully. So you may know the things that you're good at, they're not just for your benefit. They're to share. Those gifts are to share because God gave those gifts so that you can bless other people as well. Now, if you may be one of those people that says, you know what, I really don't know my gifts and nobody said anything to me about what my gifts are, you've come to the right place because here it says, know your fit. This is a spiritual gifts assessment booklet. And so it's something, it's multiple choice. So, and there's no right or wrong answer here, so don't worry. What you just do is that you just answer the question as best you can. And then, of course, follow the instructions of what it says. And then at the end, you mark yourself and it'll give you like a matrix that will say perhaps your interest is in music, working in our AV department, working with our in our kids zone church, or hospitality. So you love to entertain guests or provide meals to families. This is, you do something like that. So if you're a good cook, yes, it's good for yourself and for your family, but you could use that to bless other people. If you are in hospitality and that's your thing, making coffees, just making people feel good. And by the way, I actually think that second to the welcoming team and the serving team, hospitality is possibly one of the most important. And I'll tell you why. You see, people that own restaurants, they just think that we're serving food. But what they don't realize is that they are creating opportunities. They are creating a vehicle by which people will come and converse, build relationships, and build businesses, do deals in cafes and restaurants. So if your hospitality is such an important thing because it is a connector of people and it helps drive the economic engines of our country. This is why you find that most people go for lunch instead of dealing with themselves, with their clients in the office. Let's meet at that cafe over there and let's have lunch whilst we talk shop. So hospitality is very, very important. And so I would encourage you to do a gifts test to find out areas you may be strong in. Serving, like it did for me, exposes areas our character needs tweaking. And boy, did mine need a lot of tweaking. It exposes pride and selfishness. So I'll tell you this, Christianity is so much easier when you're doing online church. When you're doing online church by yourself at home, you think, you know, this Christianity thing, it is so easy. But guess what? The transformation occurs when you interact with people that may be difficult to get along with. Isn't that true? Oh my goodness. It's just like it's like family. That's what it sounds like to me. You know? But guess what? I think that God is a genius because he says, you know, I will fix those humans and I'll help them to be more Christ-like by having them being a part of a church. Because the whole purpose is that let's not do things in isolation. Because when you do things in isolation, you got nothing to correct because there's nobody to say, to point out areas that need improvement. And serving will mature us spiritually. That's what, when you serve, you mature spiritually. And most importantly, lastly, is serving brings joy. Because you're now happy, you go home, you go home happy that, you know what, at least today I did something positive, I helped somebody. I made a cup of coffee, I said hello to somebody, said a nice word of encouragement to somebody. That brings you joy. That brings joy into your life. I don't know anybody who's served and thinks, oh my goodness, what a terrible day, those people. Now, maybe if you run a restaurant and the clients and the customers are a bit weird, you'd be so glad to go home. These terrible clients. But no, it brings joy into your heart. And most importantly, it allows you to discover your area. It allows God to begin to just shift your heart and for you to discover what your purpose is going to be. Because there are some people who are just comfortable doing certain things. And that's because that comes through, that's a natural bent of theirs. And so when you are following or doing something that is of purpose, you are going to be very happy. Because you think, this is natural to me, I love doing this, and it brings you a whole lot of joy. And so as we end this morning, the question I have for all of us is, are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you can? Because this is all Jesus is asking of you. He's not asking of you to do some crazy, weird stuff. He's saying, are you doing what you can? There's a story that is spoken in the book of Mark about a lady that came and poured perfume, very expensive perfume, onto the feet of Jesus, and she cried and she wiped her tears with her hair, XYZ. She was giving everything. And the people that were around, because they said that this was equal to a year's wage. And so the people around said, oh no, what a waste of money. Why would you do that? But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could, and she has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. And then he goes on to say, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. And so the only question for all of us is, are you doing what you can? Because she did what she could. And that was all that was expected of her. But guess what? What she did was a lot. Because the hair of a woman is the glory of a lady. That alabaster box represented, whether it was an heirloom, but it represented lots of value. A year's wage, minimum wage. So it's a lot of money. But she did it. And one thing I get from that is that nobody, never allow anybody to tell you your level of servitude, your level of giving, your level of worship to the Lord. That is a personal decision for you. And so if you get somebody to say, oh, come on, you're giving too much, that's way too much, they should never tell you. You shouldn't accept that. You do out of your heart what you love for the Lord. Because all he's asking is saying, what can you do? That's all. He's not asking what is the person on your right or your left doing. What can you do? And just as we finish, I'll get everybody to stand this morning. Romans 12 verses 1 to 8 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And then he goes on to say, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, which is all of us. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. All of us have a gift. And the body really functions when everybody is doing their part. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, that you have given to each of us a measure of faith. But you have given us gifts, Lord God. And Father, may we be those that would use the gifts that you have given us to bless your people, Lord God, to bless your house. And Lord, I pray that in 2023, Lord God, that you would give us an ear to hear what it is that you're saying to us. And also, Father, we pray, Lord God, for wisdom and discernment, that we'll be able to know that, okay, that is the voice of the Lord. And Father, as you have spoken, as you have given us wisdom, I pray that you would give us courage to do the things that you're asking of us to do. God, I thank you so much for C3 Fremantle and its people, Lord God. I thank you that this is the year, Lord God, that their efforts would be successful. That, Lord, we need you, Father. We want more of you in our lives. That, Lord, more of Jesus, less of us. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be in your house, to serve in your house. And we know, Lord God, as the scripture says in Psalm 90, that, Lord God, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. May we be those, Lord God, that would flourish, that would be sturdy, Lord God, that would be fragrant, that our branches would go out wide, Father, and bring shelter to others. And that, Lord God, even as the trees go down, Father, they go down to get roots, to get nutrients, not just for itself, but they take in and they give out. That is the same thing you've done for us, Father. You have put in us so that we can give out to others. And so we thank you in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. And this morning we'll end with new wine. Is that okay? We'll end with new wine. And if you need prayer, please come and we'll pray for you. God bless you.